Thanks for tuning in again, everybody. We're back with your favorite podcast, Luca's Tigers and Bronze, Oh My.
That was 50.
I'm recording. Just let me hit the record button and get started. I can't walk you through what you should do with your money all the time, Cage. And
we gotta walk
millions
me through.
And millions of dollars.
Walk me through. It's just, you know, I mean, sometimes a card pops up that you have to have. You have to have it. So you got to figure out what to do with your money. Listen, guys, the way it works over here is I have no control over anything technical. For all I know, there are videos of me showering somewhere because he's got a camera on me at all times, all day, and he just pushes record. I don't know when he's going to push record. I don't know what's going to happen. And I guess I'm thankful he's never putting any of those videos out because we would lose a lot of followers. Would not
this
be pretty.
This is how you're starting?
Well, you didn't tell me we were starting, so I might as well, right? It's cool? No? No good? Bad
this
stuff?
This is going to be a really good episode. I just had a crazy deja vu. Nice. Luca Nation, welcome back with another episode of Luca's Tigers and Bronze. And I'm bringing back your favorite segment. And Cage, did we talk before this? Did I tell you what we're talking about today?
No, that's why we get intros like that, where we talk about I get no say over anything. You're in charge.
So we're going to do a little would you rather. We're going to do a would you rather.
Nice.
Some are card specific. Some are going to be very interesting. And others are going to be player specific. Okay?
All right.
Did
you jump right into that?
Before we jump in, what's top of mind?
I don't know, man. It's just, you know, going through the motions. It's funny. You know, 2022 came in, you know, like a hurricane. It's like, oh, wow, it's 2022. And now it's like, all right, well, what are we supposed to do in 2022? Which card is going to 10X?
The effect is wearing off.
I sold my Burrow on the story, but not my Trey yet. I got some offers on Trey, but none of them I'm willing to pull the trigger on just yet. And, you know, I'm excited. I am. I'm excited about cards. We got some auctions ending. You know, we're having some fun. But, yeah, nothing really top of mind. Top of mind, I want to go take a nap. Is that good?
That's the best thing ever. All right, so back to Would You Rather.
Guys, if you watch us on YouTube, I love the comments. Andrew sends them to me. I don't really look. I got to look at them. But, like, I guess at some point yesterday, Andrew kept, or maybe 2 days ago, he was talking about basketball. Like, I watch the games. I'm like, I'm the basketball expert. Like, you would think that he was Grover Cleveland, or whoever that guy he keeps talking about with Kobe. Kobe's coach. Grover Cleveland, Alexander.
Yes.
Tim Grover. Yes, that guy. So, Super Grover. And, you know, so he's like, oh, let me explain this to you. It's basketball. It's this and this. Can I explain it to you from a basketball perspective? And I don't know, one of my typical asshole responses. And I was like, no, explain it to me from a hockey perspective. And we got a comment on YouTube where someone just quoted that and had, like, you know, 500 smiley faces. And that makes my day. That means people are actually listening to my dumb humor and finding it funny. So I appreciate that, guys. We are human. We've had some amazing content that you haven't checked it out. Big shout out to Alex on our team who puts out this you know, Player of the Week basketball post that reaches, is it hundreds of thousands of people that last one hit? I mean, like 250,000 people or so. That one is pretty crazy. We're doing these awards, which, you know, the first round were a rousing success, so much so that so many people complained that we didn't include them that we had to make a new round just to make them happy. So, you know, make sure you vote, put some comments.
The second round's tougher, Cage.
Yeah,
and I want to talk about that. I want to talk about that because, guys, frankly, there's a lot of people in the hobby that we have never met.
We don't know.
The reality. Yeah. We don't know. And what was cool about this awards isn't who's the winner by some kind of arbitrary metric. It's all of the tags and introductions that we've had that, hey, you've missed this guy, or take a look at this page, or, you know, this would be great if you met them. To make those connections, right? The networking that came from it. That's really the beauty, not some arbitrary awards of who won 2021. Like, what does that even mean? We're just doing it to have fun.
Tell that to Ken Golden. Tell him winning doesn't matter.
Ken's a competitor. There is that element. Obviously, we all want to win and we all want to have success. But at the end of the day, we know it's so futile. What we're trying to do is meet people, get to know the community, have fun, all that stuff. So...
And this is a lot of fun. The comments are great. They're really a lot of fun, the comments. So I'm enjoying it. I got to tell you. I'm enjoying those awards. And, you know, we'll probably have to make it a little more official the second go around. Maybe little trophies, some belts. We'll have to, you know, something. Little tigers. We'll figure it all out. But, yeah, check out some of the content that's out there. Big, you know, big shout out to our team, you know, Manny and and Jack Willis, and you know, the whole crew. Am I leaving anybody out? No. Okay. Good.
I don't think so, but it's possible. We don't leave people out because we don't like them. It's just, I mean, we do the show off the cuff, and you know what my little pea-sized brain can remember is just how big Desmond Bane's arms are and how springy and quick John Moran is.
And I have to say thank you to everybody. Thank you, because I've had my most follows this week than any week I've ever had on here. I'm trying to post for you guys more, some funny content, cards that I see, stuff for sale. Maybe I'll find some more stuff for sale. Who the heck knows? You know, trying to post a little bit more. I guess people are seeing it more. And I'm up like 80-something followers in less than a week. That's pretty good for me. That's a lot. I mean, you know, my account's only got 2,000 followers, which... You know, what's amazing about that is in a 24-hour period, we get more people listening to the show than I have followers. So I mean, I guess it makes sense because, you know, there are people who aren't on Instagram.
That's not
the point. The point is, go ahead, give me a follow. I do some funny stuff on there, too, that's not on the show. But yeah, give me a follow because, listen, our partners see that and think I'm more important than I really am. So make me look more important than I really am.
That's true. It's true. Because we really love what we do. It's kind of crazy to get to talk about sports and sports cards for a living. And we really try to remind each other, you know, are you having fun? Because that's number one. This should be fun. And number two, it's how lucky and blessed we are to be able to do what we do.
And I get to talk to so many awesome people. Follow me. We talk messages. I mean, people send me – somebody sent me a picture today. They want to trade a card, and they have like a 1986 cornflakes baseball pitcher, Rick Sutcliffe. And I'm like, what am I going to trade you for this? You know, but it's fun. You know, I like being a resource. Yeah, maybe. I like being a resource for folks. You know, I was in the post office yesterday mailing out some cards from our Whatnot sale and Slab Returns and stuff. And my LCS owner was in there. And I said, hey, man, what's going on? He goes, hey, I need your help. My son is here. You know, he wants to grade some cards from his collection. And I don't know how to tell him to do it. Like, can you come to the store and walk him through, like, the grade process? Now, this dude has been doing cards forever, like 50 years, right? His store is 30, 40 years old. So I was like, of course I'll come help you. You know what? I mean, it's great. But just being asked was a cool part. So, you know, so I appreciate that. I love all the comments. As we start this episode, I have responded to every single comment that I've gotten on my personal. I have no unread emails, no unread messages. So, you know, if you send a message on the
Luke, you were so excited to respond to people. You wanted to go on the Luca Tiger Braun podcast page.
Yes, and I couldn't get in because, guys, that's a good segue to like a good little piece of value there. I mean, I don't know if you're on Instagram, but people have been pulling scams on Instagram, you know, giving away passwords and stuff like that, and having accounts hacked. Like, you can't go through stories now without seeing somebody post something about a scam. I mean, even basketball guy, somebody almost tried to steal him. You said you see the real 27 guy. I always get those two guys confused. Card porn. I get all three of them confused. And they all kind of post, hey, this person just tried to scam me out of $15,000. And so be careful. It's an easy fix. I think Cardboard Chronicles did a nice you know, story post about it yesterday. Just turn on the two-factor identification. That way, if somebody happens to get in, they're not going to have your cell phone with a code texted to you for logging in. You know, that two-factor identification will probably save you some headache down the road. You've probably spent some time building up your following, building up your page, you know, building up credibility on that page and who you are. You don't want to lose that and start from scratch. So I did it. I'm an old dummy. And it took me like 17 seconds to do it. So just, you know, take that step.
Settings, security, get a text message, two-factor authentication, text message, get a code, take a screenshot of your backup codes, and you're all set. Don't click on links. No one's going to send you a link. No one's going to give you money. It's just that it's pretty simple. Like, no, just don't click on links.
Shows you what you know. I am a prince in 6 different countries.
You remember those? That was that's Web 1, Cage.
That's Web 1. Well, I am Web 1. I'm Web 0. I'm pre-Web.
Web 1. I'm a prince from Nigeria. Can you send me money?
I will send you $4 million. All I need is for you to send me $25,000 to test the wiring system to make sure that if I get your $25,000, I can send you back the $4 million. Sure. How about I do it by a Green Dot gift card?
You know, those are the two
Green Dot gift cards.
Steal people's Instagram accounts and tell them that they can make $10,000 a week on Forex. Web 3 scam? connect your wallet to my free mint.
Yeah.
You're not that lucky. You don't get free mints. Now, guys, the would you rather, think of it this way. It's not going to be apples to apples, right? Because you have two different players and you have two different cards. So the prices and the comps are going to be different. But the point here is to take in player performance, their cardboard relevancy, and long-term potential, right? Understanding where they are in the market cycle.
So your cardboard relevance, long-term potential, all that fun stuff. Okay, I'll do what I can.
And remember, this isn't who's better or worse too, right? There could be a player who's significantly worse, but his cards haven't been run up like the player we're comparing to, whose cards have been run up. So keep that in mind. All right, let's start off. Really basic, really simple. Better investment, short-term, long-term, cardboard relevance, Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes.
Okay, so short term, a better investment right now.
Right now, might you're going to say right meow.
Right meow. Why would I say meow? Do I look like a cat to you? Am I jumping around all hibbity-bibbity? Am I drinking milk from a saucer? So
the crazy thing is, that guy ate all those mushrooms in Super Troopers. If you go watch Mike Tyson on Impulsive, he did that in real life. That's how goated Mike Tyson is.
Tyson is awesome. So right meow, Aaron Rodgers might be. There was a time this season, a couple weeks ago, where Mahomes might have been. And this is a tough one because it flip-flops, right? So I believe that, and it's crazy. It's close on this too. I believe Rodgers has less downside. Right, because Rodgers has already won. He's already done what he's going to do in his career. His prices are at a point where there's not much downside baked in. But for the temporary, for right now, he may add an MVP and potentially add a Super Bowl right this year. And then who knows what happens next year in the whole nine yards. So there is definitely some upside. But the problem on Rodgers is that it's starting to creep up the last couple weeks anyway, as he's taken control of the MVP race and his team is now number one seed with a bye. His cards have started to move up a little bit. So a lot of that success that I just talked about is baked in. Mahomes, it's the same scenario, right? Mahomes, people were kind of like questioning Mahomes. People were like, what the heck is going on with the Mahomes front here? You know, the team doesn't look so good, and they've done nothing but just win every single game for the last, 7-8 weeks. And they're likely not going to have the one seed. I mean, I think Tennessee likely wins this week and maintains that one seed. And, you know, that's a tough one. If Derrick Henry's back, Tennessee always plays a team like Kansas City. They'll play him tight, so that's a tough one. But Mahomes may have a little more downside only because he started off so great with the MVP to Super Bowl. And if he doesn't do any more, people will not slot him in where they're expecting him to be. His prices have, even with the drop they've had this year a little bit, his prices are, they baked in a significant amount of success over the next 10 years, the type of success that Rodgers has already had. So it really does depend on what you're looking for here. The best long-term buy, if you're a little bit of a gambler like me, I would probably be buying Mahomes now because, you know, depending on what card it is, that Prism, you know, rookie PSA 10 of his, the silver, you know, because they're all silvers, that's still significantly down from where it was. You know, his other cards are still down from where they were, not by a lot. There are some high-flying ones that we talk about on the, you know, the collectible episodes that we do weekly, you know, where those are down also because, you know, the season didn't start off perfectly. And Mahomes, of all of these QBs, does still stand out to me as the top. I know Herbert is great. I know Burrow is great. I know Josh Allen is great. But, you know, if you told me which one of these guys who's in the league now, especially after, you know, Brady retires and Rodgers is now completely over the hill and Russell Wilson is now on the downslide, could Mahomes run off 3 or 4 more Super Bowls? Definitely. It's completely not out of the question. It could definitely happen. And then, clearly, Rodgers is not doing that. Like, this may be Rodgers' last hurrah here. This may be his last MVP, his last Super Bowl. You know what you're getting. And if he doesn't do that, it's okay. He's already done them. You know, the cards are not going to get beat up too much. So, hope that made sense. Really short-term.
Let's keep rocking.
Yeah, please, go.
Let's keep rocking, because we can't spend, you know,
That's a great one, though. It's a great one because they're both kind of flying high. We didn't even get into like the off-field stuff. You know, Mahomes is – yeah.
Just to touch on that, I think actually Rodgers has his downside sort of baked in. It's kind of like Kyrie. Like, okay, there comes a point where we as investors don't like their antics, and we price those in.
Yep.
But they're already priced in for Rodgers. Yes. They're already priced in for Kyrie. They're not priced in for Mahomes. And he should be penalized for having a brother as corny as he is. Just kidding, guys. Come on. I'm having fun. Okay. This is a fun one. I really like this one. LeBron, exquisite, three patch, beautiful patch, 8.5 or 9, or a Mickey Mantle PSA 8. They're right in that same ballpark of price. I picked those two for a reason. They're not similar players, but their prices are similar. You have 2.2 million-ish.
Okay, so I shouldn't know this offhand, but I believe from PSA 8 and higher, there are only 66 Mickey Mantles. Okay, I believe there are only 66 total PSA graded Mantles, 8, 9, and 10. I think the numbers are 3 10s, maybe 6 9s, and like 50-something 8s, right? So right off the bat, comparing pop-wise, on the LeBron, you have 99 of those RPAs that are going to be out of 99. You have 23 that are out of 23 that are already better. So you'd compare those to like the, you know, the PSA 10 Mantle, maybe even the PSA 9 Mantle. So honestly, I go with the Mantle, and it really is just they're both going to be top demand in the hobby. Even people who don't like baseball cards, they want Mantle. Mantle is like that museum piece. And an 8, there's less than 6 dozen people in the world who can own them. Sure, a 9 and a 10 is better, but there's only 9 better. So you have a PSA 8 Mantle.
So ahead, PSA please. 8, just to give you guys some numbers. Yeah. You said PSA 8 or higher, right?
8 or higher, 66 total, I think.
Do you consider the 8.5s and the qualifiers in that?
Not a qualifier.
Okay.
But a 0.5. So then
we have 35 eights, 5 8 and a half, 6 nines, and 3 tenths. So 49 actually, Cage.
So do that again, right? So 35, 5.
5 8 and a half, so that's 40.
Mm-hmm.
6 nines, 46, and 3 tenths, 49.
Then how many qualifiers total? How many?
There's 10 qualifiers. 8 qualifiers and 2 9 qualifiers.
So even less than I thought, which is odd.
I'm sure a few of those are graded in SGC though as well.
All right, so even less. But I guess what the point I'm trying to say is I think they're very comparable cards. And with the Mantle, I look at what is better, and I already know from a PSA 8 standpoint there are 6 9s and 3 tenths. So that's 9 that are better. On a BGS 8.5, which is selling for around the same price as a Mantle 8, you have 23 that are better right off the bat. They're lower numbered, right? The same card, but a lower number parallel. And you have others that are better graded. BGS 9.5s, you know, BGS 9s. So yours is actually in your grade. You already know it's in the lesser of that grade. So LeBron's still playing. He could still win. I don't even care if he wins another two championships. He will still be on the same kind of Mantle as Mantle and thought of the same way. And Mickey Mantle, what's amazing about his stuff because he's not playing is the card values, they don't really go down. I mean, they go up, and sometimes they go up more in any given year than they had in the years prior, but there's no real precipitous drop on Mantle. It's a different kind of investment. So I'm Mantle there, but a lot of people would say they're nuts. Who the hell cares about baseball? So
I love it. Let's go this way. Charizard, first edition PSA 10, Jordan, PSA 10, 1986 Fleer.
I think I'm going to go with the Jordan. Even though there's 320 or so of those as opposed to 121, I think PSA changed that population from 122 down to 121 on the Charizard. The Jordan one.
I'm going to add a caveat.
Yeah, please add.
This Charizard was graded by the Island Boys, and they got a custom slap.
Not even that, that makes it even worse. But yeah, I mean, listen, I can see the comparison. And what's funny is, you know, see, to me, pretty straightforward right now, a Charizard should be $200,000 and the Jordan is in the threes. So it's, you know, just money wise, I take the Jordan. There was a time where the Zard flew way above the Jordan, and that could happen again. It depends on, you know, the collecting habits of the world and what's going on there, you know, at the time. But yeah, I mean, I go with the Jordan, and really it's this. Every young athlete coming up, no matter what the generation it is, they want to be, you know, with the Jordan brand. They want to be a Jordan athlete. They want to, you know, they want to be tied to Jordan. Not everyone is a Pokemon person. There are a lot of them, and Pokemon seems to stay, you know, stay through the years and the whole deal. But it just, to me, that Jordan card is, it's just something different. So
let's keep going. Are you having fun?
No good. I want to figure out. I'm a little distracted. One, because of the sun, but two, I'm gonna see if I can move myself here. But two, because I thought I read something about that mantle like this morning, saying that there were, you know, 66 of them higher, and it's very odd. I mean, I'm just
Cage, they counted the qualifier. That's why. So you have 35 and 5, so that's 40. You have six nines, three tenths. So you have 49, but you have 59.
How many 7.5s are there?
7.
Okay, so that's what it is. 59 plus 7 is 6. So that, yeah, okay. So what I read was,
are we doing growth,
was a PSA 7. Because I can't afford an 8. But a 7 might be, you know, something the old Cage chair might be looking at. So there are 66 total on the PSA report that are higher than 7. So yes. I did that wrong. So there are some 7.5. So yes, that's the deal. I was reading a description of a 7. Okay, so now I can continue. My brain can be focused.
Now you can. Wow, easily distracted.
I am. I am.
Okay.
This is what happens,
let's go this guy.
I'm an idiot.
This is two players. This is players. Remember, guys, this is players. And also take into consider for this one where they are in their pricing cycle. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Derek Jeter or A-Rod?
You know, it's funny. If you watch my video that Card Porn posted, which I didn't know was their most watched Card Porn Hero video, that was kind of cool that they posted. It was the most watched little collection video that they had on there. I have an A-Rod SP 1994 PSA 10. And if you look at the pops of the Jeter and the A-Rod, there's about twice as many, I think. Maybe 2.5 times. But that's a little misleading because there's also a die-cut version of the A-Rod that didn't exist for the Jeter one, so that kind of increases the ability for you to get that same rookie card in what some might consider a rarer specimen in the die-cut. So, you know, the pop is what it is. But the price of a PSA 10 Jeter as opposed to the price of a PSA 10 A-Rod is significantly different. You're talking about, what, like a 20 times, 25 times multiple, right? Here is the thing. Unless you are a Red Sox fan, and there are a lot of them, you probably don't have a hatred of Derek Jeter. Maybe some Astros fans. There are people out there who make the argument that he wasn't the greatest player of all time and that he gets more accolades. He was just an average player on a really good team, and you know he gets a lot of accolades because of the team he was
on. He's the Robert Ori of baseball.
I wouldn't go that far. Robert Ori wasn't number 6 in scoring all the time. So, you know, Jeter had more hits than only 5 players to ever play the game. So there's a little different. Robert Ori, he's got a lot of rings, but he never really did anything good. But yes, the haters could say that. But if you are counting the negative, there are so many people who can't stand A-Rod. So many people who hate him. They just hate him. And I bought the card because I assumed that hatred would kind of wear down a little bit, you know, his numbers would let him into the Hall of Fame, and that he was remaining relevant, buying sports teams, you know, just being in the news, you know, his brief dalliance with, Jennifer Lopez and, you know, all the other stuff. I'm like, all right, this guy's remaining relevant. He's kind of staying in the news. He's, you know, he's being smart. He's, you know, going, you know, look up what that word is.
I'm going to, and I'm not going to
okay.
you for another 5 minutes. I'm going to be distracted.
Please, like please know. Look it up. And it's good, man. We provide value to our audience, including vocabulary words. It's fine in case that's anybody out there preparing for the SAT.
Dalliance, a casual romantic relationship.
His brief dalliance with Jennifer Lopez. I mean, it is an accurate and very usable word, appropriate for the sentence. So I thought he remained relevant, and I thought that would carry over to his card. That card does not come up, so I don't know what the current like price is for. I have no idea what the value is, but I don't really like get a lot of people saying I need to have that A-Rod card. You know what I mean? Like, I'm sure it'll slowly climb just because of the scarcity and because of the set and because it's one of those cards. But you know, I don't think A-Rod will ever have the kind of following that somebody like Jeter does. And if you're pairing collections, I'm Jeter all day, every day.
All right. Acuña Tatis.
All right. It's funny because I'm going to say a sentence that everyone should laugh at. I'm going to go with Acuña because I don't think Tatis is going to stay healthy. Now, that is laughable as we just finished the season where Tatis stayed healthy the whole time and Acuña was out for half the year because he was injured. That said, Tatis plays a different position than Acuña. And unless they're ready to move him, Tatis, to the outfield, I mean, he is a decent, getting better infielder, but he's not a prototypical shortstop, right? And, you know, that takes a toll. And, you know, he's not exactly great defensively. You know, we've talked about his errors. He makes a lot of errors. Great bat. But he's already had some significant injuries. Back injuries, you know, the arm injury, you know, from swinging, if you remember. The way he plays the game kind of all out at that position, I'm betting that you're going to see him play more like 140 games a season, 135 games a season, whereas Acuña out in the outfield already, and, you know, he's not there. You know, the infielder is not already built into his value, and his price has come down a little bit because he was injured. I'd be on Acuña right now. He's just one of those guys that I think – is built to last a little longer in the game than Tatis at this level, right? I think in the next 5 years, so you said, hey, short-term, long-term, Tatis may put up the more flashy numbers. He obviously is the guy that they are trying to make the face of the game. You know what I mean? He really is. And he was, I think, third in MVP voting, then like second in MVP voting. And, you know, he's putting up significant numbers. The thing is, we haven't seen him be able to do it over the course of a whole season, healthy the whole time, and all that stuff. So, I would be on Acuña, because if he wins a World Series, people are going to count it as two. They're going to say, okay, clearly he's won two World Series. People will forget that the one he has is with an asterisk. They'll say he's a two-time champ. So Tatis wins one, he wins one. Acuña wins another one, and boom, he's a two-time champ. So he's got that in his back pocket also.
Okay. Let's keep going.
Yeah, sure.
A CryptoPunk or a Bored Ape?
Well, right now I think the floor of Bored Apes is higher, although they both kind of come down a little bit. At these prices, neither. But I can't believe I'm going to say this, right? I am the old school guy with no flash, right? I'm the guy who puts up a Christmas tree of cards and has nothing gold and no refractors and no prisms. It's all
there
like
was
old,
not a
old,
single
old
glare.
War, right?
Imagine taking a video with your camera and having no glare. It's terrible.
Well, listen, you know, that's me, man. I have no glare. Except for Rhea right here, right now, right? So, but in this instance, I think I would go with Bored Apes. Right,
and every day you're ridiculous.
No, I think I would go Bored Apes. No, I haven't changed this. You never asked me this. I asked you this, and you said you'd buy a Bored Ape, sell it, and buy a CryptoPunk. That was your answer, not mine.
Say that was so stupid.
Yeah,
why wouldn't I just trade it and avoid fees?
So what I said was I would go with the ape because I do think in the NFT space that utility does matter, and at least for the last couple of months, owning an ape has provided not just meetups and all that other fun stuff, you know, a more active and vocal community, which is what people are looking for in the NFT world, but also this mutants, which, you know, the serums, the mutants, the dogs, all the stuff that are put in there, it's all added value to people who have held that. You know, I think the Larva Labs had Mii Bits also, but, you know, they really haven't much in a very long time for the punk holders. And so that's it. I go with the Mii Bits.
Everyone who owned a punk got a free Mii Bit?
I don't know if it's free. I don't know what the story was, but yeah, Mii Bits are also from Larva Labs.
Interesting. I didn't know that. Curious. This is a question for the audience. Don't think I'm weird. Just stick with me. Have people on dating apps like Bumble and Tinder started using NFTs as avatars? Just answer that question, guys. Don't judge me. Don't go all weird on me. Just tell me, has that been a thing? Anyway, are you going on dating
apps? I was just trying to look. No, I was trying to look whether or not the Mii Bits, how they were given out, because I don't know the answer, but I know it's also from Larva Labs. I don't know if they got them free. I don't know if people got five of them or if you had to buy them. I don't know the answer.
All right, let's go a little bit of basketball. I have a few more here. So this is a shout out to Alex. Kyrie or Clay? Kyrie or Clay? They're both coming back this weekend. Kyrie came back yesterday and played pretty incredible for someone who hasn't really played all year. He literally looks like he could beat anybody off the dribble. Doesn't matter, big, small, quick or not. And he could go left, right. Or Clay? Kyrie or Clay?
As an investment going forward. So Clay stuff has started to move a little bit. Oh, wow, this is a tough one. I'm going to go Clay only because Clay seems to be universally loved in the hobby. And I think that's going to be the separator. I think both of them have a chance this year to do something great. Only one of them was win a championship. But Kyrie has a chance to really cement his legacy in there as a guy who can win championships, right? That, you know, he doesn't get any credit for the Cleveland championship, even though he's the one who won the game, the big game with his shot. And look, obviously, I'm not trying to take away from LeBron. LeBron won the championship. Kyrie was there. That is not thought of as Kyrie's championship. It's thought of as LeBron's. If he wins another championship.
Can I add a little color to that? Actually, I just had this thought, and you'll be rocking. LeBron had the block. Kyrie had the three. Kevin Love had the lockdown defense on Steph after.
So it's Kevin actually Love had a lot. He doesn't get enough credit either. But here's the thing. Kyrie has a chance to have that happen again. And this be like Durant's championship, or, you know, maybe even Harden's championship because he never won one before. Kyrie would be the difference maker, though, because, you know, even though Harden was a little hobbled, Harden and Durant didn't win last year. It would be adding Kyrie to the mix that got them over and won the championship. Clay, if he wins a championship this year, that's amazing. It's great that he comes back, but he's never going to get credit for it being Clay's championship. It will always be Steph's team, which is fine. It's always going to be Durant's team. Although prior to this year, no net has ever averaged, I think it's like 25 point something points. Like Kyrie is in the top, you know, Kyrie and Vince Carter, and it's not high. Durant is going to blow that out of the water. He's averaging almost 30 points a game right now. So he's going to set the franchise record for the most points per game in a, over the course of a season for the Nets. Clay, it's a great comparison because I've always said it's tough to invest in number twos. And these two guys, even though they are greats, they are both always going to be number twos, right? Kyrie is two of the greats of all time. In Durant and LeBron, and Clay is going to be always thought of as the number two to Curry. So it's a great comparison. Why I go the way I go is that people just love Clay and people hate Kyrie. So I think for a long-term thing,
let's go a little bit of young basketball from the 2018-2019 draft class. So
Luka over everyone.
All right, fine. Let's go. Ja or Luka.
Wow. 18 and 19. Ja or Luka? Luka. Yeah, Luka. Luka's cards have taken a pretty big beating. And
no worse than his ankles now that he's 30 pounds overweight.
Well, he actually looked a little – did you watch a game last night? He actually looked like, you know, he trimmed down a little bit during this, he's, you know, little COVID. Like, and, dude, you know,
he's Draymond Green size.
I'm sure he's reading those clippings and seeing that also. But I'm sure he'll get in shape. I really am. I'm sure he'll get in shape. And, you know, he puts up 30
February 30th.
You're using that. You're using my joke. Use my February 30th joke.
They say you are who your friends are.
That's it. This is unfortunately for you. I like Ja. It's another great comparison because I can make arguments that both of them are not going to be around long enough to sustain the card's value that they're at now.
Are you Tanya Harding these guys right now?
No, I'm not going to say they're going to hurt. No, but like you're talking about, Luka is not in peak physical shape. And he came into the season, you know, a little heavy. And even though he's young, there is more wear on his 21, 22-year-old frame than most kids that age because he's just been playing for a long time. You know, and he plays with a style that takes a lot of hits for today's day, right? It's ballet compared to the 80s basketball, but he drives, you know, he does a lot of stuff where, you know, he's drawing contact, he's on the ground. I mean, they were picking him up off the floor. He twisted his ankle last night. I mean, you know, he does not play a style of basketball that's as clean as, say, Steph, right? So that's a big difference. But that's not why he win the day. I mean, Ja, you know, Ja is just as susceptible, if not more susceptible to, you know, to an injury because of his high-flying style of play. Above the rim, you know, coming down, twisted ankles. You've seen it already in his short career. Why I give it to Luka is Luka does not need to learn anything in his game. He just needs to be paired up with the right people to win championships. He does not need to you know, improve his jump shot. You know, he's not the greatest shooter, but he doesn't need to do any of that stuff. Whereas Ja, and he's answering some of these questions. The biggest question with Ja is when the athleticism fades in the second third of his career. As people said this about Jordan, people don't realize it. People said this about, okay, he's just a dunker. You know, what will he be a student of the game enough? Will he develop a mid-range jump shot? Will he, you know, focus and play on defense?
Do you know who he credits?
Grover Cleveland Alexander?
Yeah. Dude, it was after he lost to the Pistons. You obviously didn't watch The Last Dance. You were just looking at Jordan cards on eBay. It was after they lost to the Pistons. He knew he had to get stronger, tough enough to start delivering punishment.
Yeah, they were beating the shit out of him.
Yep.
So those parts of The Last Dance, I watched the whole
thing. So Ja, give Tim Grover a call.
Yeah. Well, I mean, right now Ja is playing on his athleticism, but he looks good. He's got, you know, his jump shot is improving. It's just a matter of, you know, what will he do years down the road? Whereas I think, you know, skill-wise, Luka's already there. He doesn't have to, like, learn anything. So that's why I give it to Luka. Also, Luka's cards have been beaten down, whereas Ja's cards are moving up. So I can't not take that into account. You know, that has to be in the equation. Ja's cards are already running. Go ahead.
A different comp, but I picked these two cards specifically. RJ Barrett, Prism Gold PSA 10, or Zion Williamson, Prism Gold PSA 10.
Easy Zion, 100% Zion, because they both could turn into nothing. Literally, they both could turn into nothing. Because I am not an RJ guy. If you listen to our episodes this week, you know, and I've watched the games. I am not a fan of RJ Barrett long term. I don't think he's going to turn into anything. And Zion may never play again, but Zion has the potential to be amazing. And you know, he's a Nike athlete. He's going to stay, you know, in the news. I give RJ credit for one thing, right? He can play in New York. Did you see Overtime, I think it was, posted a video of RJ Barrett yesterday where somebody was heckling him at a game. And they were like, RJ, you look like you're 39 years old. RJ, you're 39. You know, like, what kind of heckling is that? You know, I mean,
I don't know what that means.
I guess maybe say he looks old. He's playing like an old man.
At the bar, RJ.
Exactly. So RJ, oh, you're 39, and he during a timeout he singles the guy out. He's like, hey, you're here watching me, right? You're here. You're sitting there watching me, right? Yeah. Then shut the f up. He didn't say f though. He was the actual word. So good for him. You know, I mean, that's not going to win him a fan there. That guy's not going to be an RJ fan. He probably wasn't to begin with since he's heckling him. But, you know, you have to have thick skin and a little bit of a backbone to, you know, to do anything here in New York. And it was on a day where I was kind of taking shots at him. I saw that video and I'm like, all right, maybe I'll give him a chance. But no, RJ.
Still
no. No. I go Zion. Right, let's keep
Trey or Luka. God, you're glowing. Guys, Cage plays through adversity. Right now, the sun
Look
is
at this. Beaming on his it's face. It's crazy right here. There we go. It's still here, but whatever. I'll move over a little bit. There we go. So, yeah, it's coming in the window. It's crazy. So,
the sunlight goes through the windows.
Yeah, at this time of day. It's the worst time. It's only just this time of day. It's sun, no block, no nothing. In about a half an hour, it'll be high enough up where it won't be coming in here. But this time, if you're ever watching, you know what time we're recording. It's the same time.
Drapes?
Dame time. Dame time. There are drapes, but they're not like blackout drapes in here. Anyway, whatever. We're not going to talk about that. We're going to talk about Trey versus Luka. Luka. Luka all day and twice on Sunday. And I know that we'll probably get some heat for that. And there are Trey guys, and I'm a Trey guy. And if you listen to our show, well, 500. Go ahead.
You go. Don't roll your eyes.
No, please.
Because I was going to say, go. Fine. Let's go Ja or Trey then.
So I'll get there in a second. But I want to explain to people why I'm doing this. I have held all of their cards. So there are some people out there who are Trey people, and they hold Trey cards, right? And they don't hold Luka cards because you like who you like. I've held both of their cards. I've owned both of their cards. And I've tried to sell both of their cards. And selling Luka cards is significantly easier than selling Trey cards. And that's why I make my decision, right? There are Trey fans. There are Trey lovers. Trey has the underdog thing going on, and he has a kind of a heel thing going on, which I like. But for whatever reason, the average collector does not buy Trey as a long-term sound investment on high-end cards. I know there are plenty of people who buy a ton of his stuff. There are Trey believers, people invest in him, and the dude can drop 50-something points, you know, at any given time, as we saw this week. But if it's Luka in one hand, Trey in the other, right now people still believe Luka is the one that's going to be the generational talent. They don't believe that for Trey. They believe Trey could be a great player. They believe he could put up points like anybody. But Luka is the one that's going to carry the water for the NBA, is what people think. So if you're giving me one or the other, I'm going to take Luka's cards because it'll be easier for me to liquidate. Now you're talking about Trey versus Ja. It's amazing.
Same thing, though.
It's amazing. I am going to say Ja on this. And coming into the year, I wouldn't have said that. And I say this based on the improvement I've seen in Ja's game beyond athleticism, right? Because I would consider both of them sort of one-trick ponies. Trey's a chucker. Good at assists, but that's just because there's no one else there doing it. And believe it or not, he'll actually be a better player and a better investment if they got somebody there to take some of the assists away from him. You know, let me analyze this for you, like, from a basketball perspective, right? No, we're one-trick pony, right? So, but Ja, I thought, was a dunker. I thought Ja was just this guy who was going to be driving and dunking and, you know, being athletic and high-flying and ripped. He is better than that. He really is. And, you know, his finishes have gotten better. You know, the dunking ability is there, but he's learned to use that high-flying ability to outlast defenders in the air and create better shots for himself. You know, he'll go up at the same time as a defender, but he's not coming down at the same time as a defender. And he'll hold the ball long enough to create a nice, easy, you know, layup, bank off the window. And, you know, those are things that were not there. He was always just trying to dunk on everybody, you know. And it's a nice progression in the game. Have you seen a progression in Trey's game this year?
I thought he regressed. But a lot of people on Basketball Forever and don't agree with my commentary. They said that the Hawks have started last year really slowly, and then they came into their own in the
That's
second
true.
Half.
That's true.
That's true. They fired their coach, though. There was that little caveat.
Listen, I like Trey, but you're giving me comparison between, you know, Luka and Ja and Trey. You know, in the young world of players, that might be it right now. Like, if you gave me Zion, or if you gave me, I mean, what are the other names? I mean, we didn't even, it's funny, you know, we're going back to our show. What about, like, LaMelo or Edwards or those guys? Like, what about, like, would you go with either? So I'll ask you, I'll flip the script here. It's Trey or LaMelo or Edwards. I'll give you all three.
Edwards, to me, is head and shoulders above those two guys. And why I say that is, you know, Edwards is a big personality. And maybe this is because he's in Minnesota, but he's actually flies under the radar. And he just constantly works on his game. If you look at his game, he scores points, he gets rebounds, he gets assists, he gets steals. He impacts the game in so many different ways. And he's wildly efficient for someone at his age. So
And Edwards reminds me of Ja, guys. Edwards reminds me a lot of Ja. Because I think he's working at it, and he will take leaps and bounds next year. And people just aren't seeing it yet, sort of like Ja. Sure. So last year, Ja was like, oh, yeah, he's going to be good. You know, he's an athlete. He's a freak dunker and stuff like that. But if you looked at his stats, you saw that he was contributing. You saw that he was getting steals. You saw that he was playing an all-around game. Edwards is doing that, and you're right, sort of like Ja last year, under the radar doing it. And this year, you couldn't keep him under the radar. I think you might see that same type of improvement next year from Edwards, and people start to pay attention. So I'm with you on Edwards. I really am.
I think so, too. I think his usage will go up because he's a very efficient player. I'm a big believer in Edwards long term. Two more, and we'll bounce. Mm-hmm. LeBron top scrum, Kobe top scrum. Right around the same price, actually. No greening on your Kobe, obviously. I'm not going to sell you junk.
LeBron.
Bronny James?
LeBron. Yeah, I mean, listen, I like Kobe as much as the next person, but it's getting hard to really say that the two of them are in the same boat. It really is. People who are Kobe lovers for a while after he passed away were trying to say, you know, Kobe's just as good as LeBron, or, you know, his numbers are just as good as LeBron. And with LeBron doing what he's doing now and continuing to compete at such a high level for as long as he is, Kobe will win the clutch, right? Kobe will win the argument of, like, you know, he was there and, you know, he won when he needed to win and clutch. But just in all aspects of the game, defensively, offensively, you know, what LeBron is doing from an all-around, you know, athlete standpoint and doing it still and still building on it, I think that there's more upside for LeBron. And LeBron's fan base, Kobe's got great fan base. LeBron's got an amazing – they're very rabid as well. It's not as clear-cut as all that. And I like to factor in – I give the Kobe a boost because it's an iconic set, because it's 1996 Topps Chrome, and that's the first Topps Chrome, whereas 03 clearly is not. But even with that small boost for being in an iconic set, I still go LeBron. I know that's going to really hurt your feelings because you're a Kobe lover and a LeBron disliker.
My feelings, I'll tell you guys about my feelings at a later date. Babe Ruth, what Babe Ruth card would you rather have under $2 million?
Whew. That's funny because there are these crazy Babe Ruth cards, and then the other ones are not really, like, you know, that expensive. But under $2 million, I would get the highest grade yellow 1933 Gaudi number 53, the yellow one of the four. Maybe not. I don't know the high grade. I don't even know what they are. I know eights have come up for sale, and they're six figures. Maybe whatever the highest grade one.
Probably a nine.
Yeah, I mean, if there's a nine, I don't even know if there are nines or how many nines there are. I haven't looked up the pop on it just because, you know, it's not something I've ever been in a position to buy. But that card for me is a really cool looking, you know, Babe card. It's pretty identifiable. Prior to that, you know, he was not in the league for them to give a tobacco card for Babe. He came after that. So there's nothing really recognizable card-wise between those T206s. You know, Cracker Jack, he didn't have a Cracker Jack card. So like 14, 15, if there was a Cracker Jack, he came like right at, he has cards in that realm, but he wasn't in those sets. Obviously, you know, the Baltimore News, you know, the one that's, there's plenty of other like strip cards and cut cards. And there's no shortage of caramel cards and stuff like that. But I think the most recognizable one. Is that a Mint 9?
Mint 9 is nice. Only one graded cage. It sold for at Memory Lane auctions last June for 4.2.
Okay, so then I can't get that because clearly it's, you said, under $2 million.
But yeah, look at that card. It is. Look at this distribution cage. This is kind of interesting. So
yeah, what's an eight? Couple hundred thousand.
250K. 8.5 is 450, and then look at the jump to a nine.
Yeah, well, because there's only one.
But there's only one 8.5.
Yeah.
14 well, eights.
When did that sell, though, is the question. That's the thing. Probably sold a couple years ago, the 8.5. But yeah, that I like that card. That, you know, I like to try to match up an iconic rookie with it.
An iconic rookie with an iconic set. And that is that. Is that the babe? Is that the great Bambino? Is that Baby Ruth calling you right now, asking you to go hit some balls in the backyard? So that's another episode, guys. It's a little would you rather. Hopefully you took some value from this episode, because we do these every so often, but every time we do them, we get amazing feedback. I think it gives you a little bit of a pulse on the market, what Cage thinks, how he analyzes it, and that's another episode. I don't think we're going to have plays today because I didn't have a play, but
I found a play. I'm coming back. I have a play. I'm glad I got in before you. I do have a play. I have a quick one for folks. So very, very easy.
Is it sunscreen?
Yeah, it should be sunscreen. Jeez, man. You know, I can't win today. So I've spent a lot of time researching the Pokemon cards. People ask me during the year, a lot of our New Year shows, what do you want to do with Pokemon? Do you want to, you know, and I told them, I said, well, I'd love to buy that Charizard card. I'd love to complete my set, you know, blah, blah, blah. So I am a Charizard collector. I know there are a bunch of other Charizard collectors out there. People go with high-end stuff. A lot of people don't realize this, and Yamwax, if you check out his story, he's one of these guys that likes to unearth these real rookies. You know, he found those Tomy scratch cards for Charizard, and now he's doing some deep dives into completely ungradable Harry Potter stuff that are not based on the movie, but they're based on, you know, the book characters. And
ungradable, you know, because they're not licensed?
Well, just because no company has graded them yet. Although I think one of them is Panini, so, you know, eventually you'd think somebody would grade it. But right now, I don't think anybody's grading anything that he has unearthed. I could be wrong about that. Who the hell knows? But the point is, 1999 is the first American set of Pokemon. There are other ones, Top Sun 95, 96, you know, Cardass. We've seen these, you know, weird foil ones. And 1996 was the Japanese version of the first Pokemon set as well. A lot of people don't know that in 1999, Topps had a Pokemon set as well. You know, there's a movie edition set. There's a bunch of sets. And what I found for folks is if you want to get yourself a 1999 Pokemon, it doesn't have the same nostalgia. It doesn't have the same pull as the ones that you've grown accustomed to seeing, because those were games that kids played. You know, why that makes it collectible, why people go for that particular one is because, hey, I used to play Pokemon, and that's the card, and that's what I buy. So I know this one was not one you bought. It was just kind of, you know, all right, there's a Pokemon as a movie. But because of that, because of no nostalgia, even though the pop is decent but not crazy, take a look at this card. Pretty cool, right?
Let me see. That's kind of cool. What is it called? Movie edition?
1999, Top Pokemon Charizard number 6 movie edition. And this card, the last couple have sold in the $200 range. $250. Not $250,000, folks. It's $250. There's significantly more of them, but not crazy amounts. And if you're looking for, and this, by the way, what I'm talking about pricing was, it's in a PSA 10. So this is 1999, Top Pokemon movie edition Charizard card number E6, PSA 10. If you want to get crazy, the 10's a little more expensive. They did, I don't know why they did this, maybe to make it look like fire. I only have a 9 of this. They did a die cut version. You see the little cut on the side? I guess maybe to make it look like fire. It doesn't really look like fire to me. Maybe to look like, I don't know, wings, claws, something, but it is a die cut version of it also. Same 1999. That's cool. The little Charizard. Just wanted to bring you kind of like a different play on it. There are other ones out there that are a little more expensive. But this is a cool one. It's the same year as the one that everybody else collects. So it's, you can go out and tell people you have a 1999 Charizard PSA 10. And it's going to cost you less than $300. Cool one.
All right, I'll give you guys a quick one. Take a look at this set. It's the 1992 Upper Deck All-Star Weekend Michael Jordan card. Super cheap and a cool set. All-Star. I like the card. There's a few variations. We got to wrap because we got another meeting to bounce to.
Oh, yeah.
Hopefully some exciting stuff coming down the pipe for Luka Nation NFT holders, Tiger holders, the whole community. We do work tirelessly to give back as much as we can and even more because we love you guys. We appreciate you guys.
Thank you for spending some time with us on another episode of the Luka's Tigers and Bronze Oh My podcast. Do us a favor and like, subscribe. Now, you know what? Don't just like and subscribe. Everybody does that. If you like us, tell your friends, tell your neighbors, tell your enemies, tell everybody. And we hope you got something from spending some time with us today, and we'll see you next time. Thank you.